Do you like blogs? Well, join the conversation.
Yeah, for years, you know, I didn't blog, and then all of a sudden I thought, you know, there are just certain subjects that are worth writing about and on. Engage, comment on JB Sophia's blogspot.com. That's JBSOFIAS blog, BLOG, dot blogspot.com.
Welcome to Change by the Word. I'm your host, Blaine Booth, and you're listening to Dr. Bruce Sophia of the Gloucester County Community Church in Washington Township, New Jersey.
It's an ever-changing truth in an ever-changing world.
Now I'm changed by the word. Your cross gives me worth. Your way is flawless, always there for us.
Let's continue our study series in the book of Genesis. Here's our teacher, Bruce Sophia.
Now the third day, verses 9 through 13, we see land, sea, and plant life. The separation of the water from land takes place on the third day. And God called what was dry land. And he gathered the waters together, verse 10 says, and we call that the seas. Then he brings forth vegetation in verses 11 and 12. This sets it all in order. Why do we not believe in evolution? Why is evolution pollution? Because God clearly says according to its kind.
Amen to that.
You know, why do you listen? If evolution was correct, you're going to split open an orange, and in there you're going to go, oh, look, an apple seed. Oh, look, grapefruit.
Yeah, it's got all the pomegranate seeds in it.
Yeah. Why does each kind produce after its own kind? Because God set it forth at creation.
Amen.
Vegetation after its own kind. You know, birds after their own kind. Animals after their own kind. We could just go through the list. Mm-hmm. If evolution was correct, then we would say, well, just for numbers' sake, Blaine, we would say, there's 1 million phases before this amoeba that comes out of the sea, that becomes a fish or whatever, becomes a human being. So you and I, if this were true, right, we would say, well, that's phase, 9,876, and this is phase 3, and this is phase – oh, yeah. We recognize them by phases, but how come each seed produces after its own kind? Why do human beings only – produce human beings, for lack of a better word, give birth to human beings, because God set it forth.
Intangibles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Absolutely.
We don't see any owl that's half feathers and half whatever else it supposedly came from.
Cats have stripes, but they don't have zebra stripes.
Yeah. Right. Why can't you tame a zebra? Nobody's ever been able to tame a zebra.
That's right.
No one. Because God created it a wild beast. And not a domesticated beast.
That's right.
And he said it was good. He inspects what he does, and he says, it's good. So here is introduced to us the irreversible principle of sowing and reaping.
Yeah.
We wonder why sowing and reaping is a part of creation, not just in terms of, you know, animals and plants and all of that, but in terms of our behavior. Because God
right
set
wrong,
it forth in motion. Mm-hmm. Fourth day is verses 14 through 19. And here we see the creation of heavenly bodies, sun, moon, stars. These luminaries are made to fulfill their creative purpose. Not a thing God created that doesn't have purpose. So, Dake tells us that this purpose is sevenfold, the reason why we see sun, moon, and stars. One is to divide the day and the night. So visibly, Though certainly the purpose is far more than what's visible. Visible, we see it.
Yep.
But the purpose is essential to this sustaining of creation.
Hmm.
For signs, it's a mark, it's a token, it indicates fact or quality. For seasons, spring, summer, fall, and winter. For days, for years. The light for the earth, the rule of the day and the night, eternally, verses 16, 18. Chapter 8, verse 22, if we want to go forward. So in this fourth day, God sets all this in motion. He sets forth what you and I see around us in terms of the moon, the sun, the stars, you know, how we tell time. All of that is set forth on this fourth day. Now we move to the fifth day. Oh, yeah, how could I forget this, Blaine? And he says, by the way, I also made the stars. And you know what? I did, and it was good, and I saw that it was good. I love it. It was like nothing. He makes the sun, moon, and he when he gets the stars, he says, and the stars also.
And he named every one of them.
Yeah, yeah. We're naming them, but he already has a name for them.
We're naming them all.
I buy that star registry. I gave one to my daughter. Yeah. I gave one to my wife. You know, we have it framed, and she has a star named after her. I said, see, honey, you are a star.
That's right.
So now we move to the fifth day, and that's verses 20 through 23. We're still in chapter 1. And we see sea life, and we see fowl. We see the birds, both in the water and in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And they had life. They were to be fruitful and multiply.
Yep.
Note, the order, the wisdom of creation. There is life, and God creates that which is going to sustain or support the living creatures.
Yep.
So we begin with what's going to support it, the vegetation, all of that. And then God creates that which is going to find its substance, its life source from what he had created. Only the whole is mentioned here, and it is called great.
Hmm.
God liked what he made, and he called them great. Isn't that interesting? So that's the fifth day. So day one and day two, we have inanimate things, so to speak. And day three, we have living things, vegetation and life. Day four, we have life support for vegetation.
Mm-hmm.
And day five, we have animal life. So we're picking up with day six. We're still in chapter one, and it's verses 24 through 31. So I think I'll read those verses, and then Blaine will make our annotations. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, the wild animals, each according to its kind. We talked about the importance of each according to its kind and why that refutes evolution.
That's right.
And tells us that evolution is pollution.
Amen.
And it was so. That's the amen.
That's right.
Let it be. God made the wild animals according to their kind, the livestock according to their kind, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds, plural. And God saw that it was good.
Amen.
So then God said, let us make mankind in our image.
Amen.
Let us make mankind in our image. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. One God, but yet God refers to himself, as we saw in verses 1 and 2.
That's right.
And God, Elohim,
mm-hmm.
plural. So we're seeing the three personalities, the triune nature of God.
That's right.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Introduced, by the way, to the Holy Spirit first in the sense of meeting the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
So, and God said, let us make man in our kind, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over the livestock and all wild animals. So here we're beginning to see a distinction between what is domesticated and what is wild.
Right.
and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them.
Mm.
God's repeating himself here. Mm-hmm. He's repeating himself for a reason. Male and female, he created them. How about we just finish the chapter, then we'll come back to it.
Sure.
So God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. The earth. He puts them in one little place.
Right.
He says, now fill this whole earth. Right? And God said, I'll give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And so it was so. And it was so. So we know that before the fall, every creature that God created, from man to the wild beast, was a vegetarian.
Right.
Or that is, they were not meat eaters.
Right.
And God saw all that he had made, and it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, and it was the sixth day. That concludes chapter one. So let's talk about it. God makes here the land creatures and man, all kinds of living creatures. And he said all of it was good. Now it means the mosquitoes, the gnats, the wolves, the snakes, they were originally kind towards man. But sin perverts, it twists what was sacred, what the earth, what the Lord had created. And we took a little detour here, not detour, but we sort of painted a broad stroke here on the canvas and said, the reality is that everything that God has given us, Blaine, and it's funny, I'm looking at my notes, the dance, alcohol, movies, music, whatever it is. It was all created to be sacred and to glorify God.
Right.
It's only after the fall and the curse that man then takes things that we look at today as the church, and we go, why did drugs put people into addictions? Why does a fermented drink put people into addictions? Why do people use dance for provocative and erotic and sexual solicitation? And, you know, we can walk through all these things that belong to God, that were created to be sacred and holy, that have been perverted by man.
Mm-hmm.
And that all took place when we see the fall of man,
right?
The curse.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have a choice to make what God created sacred or to profane it.
That's right.
And the reality is, and we talked about this, and we'll get there to the WOW collection. That'll be something we'll air when we get done Genesis. I am presently doing what's called the WOW collection.
Yep.
And we're looking at things such as the origin of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a wow moment when you realize that it didn't start with Lucifer.
Right.
I'm not going to give it away.
Right.
But it didn't start with Lucifer. This week we talk about the golden calf.
Mm-hmm. Idolatry.
Yeah. What in the world? Why a golden calf? How ridiculous is that? What is there about a golden calf that anybody would hold up and say, look at my God? And so we're going to talk about that. That's a wow moment. And then our third wow moment is Easter Sunday, actually.
Oh, can't wait
for
that.
And it's called Why a Thorned Crown.
Oh. Yeah, I can't wait for that.
Why a Thorned Crown. So we're working through these wow moments in Scripture like, wow, I never saw it that way. But anyway, in a sense, you know, the wow moment is sin existed. The choice to make something sacred or profane existed long before Lucifer.
Yeah.
And we'll get there. So, We look at this and he says, let us make man in our image after the like, after our likeness. So here, in this interesting, there's a triune God.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, man, our image, our likeness. There's the three. Make, God made from what was spirit and what he was, he makes. So he gives us a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Breathes in the man the breath of life.
Right.
And then we see our image. Image, the word is selim, which means a resemblance or reference to. And it's talking about outward form.
Right.
So when God reveals himself, appearance. How does he reveal himself? As a man.
That's right. Absolutely.
So we're Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yeah.
So God has form, and we're made in that image.
Mm.
I've often said, God is far more human than we could ever imagine. Why? Because we're made in his image.
Right.
And I think there are so many attributes that are peculiar to man that are peculiar to God. When we continue to read through the Bible, you know, God's saying to Moses, hey, you know, your people that you brought up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's like, wow, is God that human?
Yeah.
He wouldn't say to Moses, hey, you look, you know, I gave you these people. What'd you do with them? And yet God is far more immeasurably God than we could ever imagine.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we can't begin to imagine the intelligence, the creativity, all that makes God who he is. The love and the compassion and his quick to forgive and slow to anger, those things we can never understand. We can't understand righteousness until we see God.
Right.
And you know, the Bible says, and the wicked don't understand righteousness, and they don't. We go through the Old Testament, and we see what God does, you know, just totally eliminating complete cultures off the face of the earth. We go, because we don't understand righteousness.
Right.
And that's what cultures deserve, and that's what we deserve.
Right.
But God in his mercy shows us mercy. You know, we see, if you please, I'm going to use the lenience, but it's really not. We see the mercy of God extended. And then when we get to the cross, we see mercy like we can never fathom.
Mm.
You know, 'cause God realizes or knows from God clearly knows that we can never be what he wants us to be,
right,
and what he intended us to be because of sin. So God, you know, how many times can he correct us?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And ultimately our correction is death. So what does God do? He takes upon himself death.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that we're not sentenced.
That's right.
How can you fathom that?
Yeah. It's tough. Well, cut, Blaine. A lot of people say, well, I can't put my arms around him because I can't see God. Well, I refer to him and say, well, you know, you're right. You don't have that capability. Most humans on the planet use 10, maybe 12% of their brain.
Yeah.
And they go, well, yeah, Blaine never thought of it that way.
Right. Yeah, you realize that Adam was made in perfection.
Right.
He names all of the animals. Think about it. Every creature on the earth that we have a name for was given to him by Adam. And probably the ones we don't have names for, he named and we lost.
Right. Yeah, they no longer in existence.
Yeah, and that's why he was able to live almost 1,000 years because sin had not yet taken its full effect in the sense of the curse on us physically, on us mentally, you know? And God obviously redeems us spiritually, and he's going to redeem us physically because we're going to get a new body.
Yep. Yeah, there was no sickness to him or anything.
No.
He was perfected.
So he makes us, God, image, resemblance, and reference, and likeness. Now, the word is demuth, and it means model or shape or refers to an outward form. So there's a resemblance, and then we're the model of.
Yeah.
So that's how he makes us. Then he uses the word let us, plural. It's a personal pronoun. Also, verse 27, it is man who has the image of God, though he created both male and female. Isn't that interesting? Because the woman was taken out of man.
Hmm.
So if you remember, that's why he called her woman.
Right.
And in the New Testament, we're told, and man was created in the image of God, but woman was created in the image of man.
Right, because she was taken from man.
Because she was taken from man, and therefore she becomes his helpmate, his completion.
Yeah.
see.
And all us men, we need all the help we can get. Yes. That's the truth. It's the Amen. Truth.
It is. And I say this, and I have one widow that gets upset when I say this, but I say to her, you know, I watch this all the time. Widows lose husbands, and somehow they manage to go on. Mm-hmm. Now, she's a rather young widow, and she disagrees with me. But when I see older widows, in most cases, they don't even want another man. Like, you kidding? I had the best man. Why do I want another one? But widowers, you got to be kidding. Very few of them stay without a female companion.
Yeah.
They almost immediately, they find another wife or at least a girlfriend. And I'm not talking about it being inappropriate.
Yeah.
But because they need.
Yeah.
And you look at when men lose their wives first, so many of them go shortly thereafter.
Oh, yeah.
Unless they find somebody else.
All right.
I mean, that's the reality of it.
It is.
Because we need a helpmate.
Yeah.
So then we go to verse 28. And we see God blesses for a purpose. He always blesses for a purpose. And he blesses man, says, and he blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, replenish and subdue the earth. That is, have dominion over it.
Mm-hmm.
Why does man have dominion over everything on the earth? Seriously. I mean, as go into the waters and there's a shark, but we have dominion over the shark.
Right.
Ultimately, we have dominion over the shark. We have dominion over the whale. We have dominion over the elephant. Mm. I mean, you go to India, they tame the elephant. They use it. They ride on it. They use it for work purposes because God gave us dominion.
Mm. We can go from land and jump in the water, but a shark can't come from the water and exist on the land.
Right.
But there it is.
And, you know, you look at the wild beast, mm-hmm. and we have dominion over them.
That's right.
Now, the reality is that they wouldn't have killed us until the curse.
Right.
But we still had dominion and control over everything God had created.
Yep.
How did the evolutionists explain that?
Yeah, they can't.
They can't.
They can't.
The reason is each produced after its own kind. So let's talk about this. Because God blesses, and he tells us that we're to have dominion over. And we do.
We do, yeah.
Then verses 29 and 30, he talks about the herbs and the trees to man and the beast that was given for food, man and the animal both. You know, all this was given to them. And we get to verse 31, and God inspected it, and it was very good. And that finishes chapter 1. So for those of you who have yet prayed this prayer with me, say, Father in heaven, thank you for loving me. Forgive me for the things I've done that are wrong. I confess to you that I am a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. I give you my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Now, for every one of you who prayed that prayer, Blaine is going to tell you what to do from there because we've got some great stuff for you. Blessings and congratulations.
Are you saved? Not sure? Well, we have designed a printed resource that will help you understand this life-changing decision. It's our gift when you call 1-800-CHANGED. Just ask for the ABC pamphlet. The number again is 1-800-242-6433. You can also get a copy when visiting the website cbtw.org. While you are there, you will find other resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ, including archived radio programs, our Change by the Word television program, all on demand. Change by the Word is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support enable us to share the good news of Jesus Christ all around the world. We constantly hear from those listening, not only here on WFIL, but from nations like Nigeria, Singapore, and the Philippines, just to mention a few. That only happens through the sacrificial gifts of our Change by the Word partners. Those of you who have been blessed by Change by the Word and believe its message is worth sharing in other cities and countries, consider partnering financially with us. Go to www.cbtw.org and click on the Support CBTW icon in the top toolbar, or call us at 1-800-CHANGED. That's 1-800-242-6433, and join our Good Samaritan team. Join us tomorrow right here at Change by the Word. The never-changing truth in an ever-changing world. Change by, change by.